Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Thank you. Man, so good to see everybody out tonight. If you're a visitor tonight, welcome. I am not the senior pastor. Pastor Matt is the senior pastor. I am submitted to his authority at all times. But I do like to teach the word, so he lets me, you know. Let me preach once in a while. Teach the word of God. Amen. I'm just going to pray real quick and I'm going to get into this word. You know, God had put this on my heart this week, and I actually wanted to preach something else. I had something else planned, and at the last, you know, that's how God works. It's always at the, God's like, no, you're not going to preach that. You're going to preach this. And I hope it ministers to you tonight, because, man, it ministered to me. It ministered to me as I was walking through this. Father, we just praise you and thank you for tonight, God. And I ask that you would just open our hearts to the word you have for us, God, that we would receive it and bring forth fruit for your name, God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear your word, Father. And we just praise you and thank you, Jesus. We thank you for all you do for us. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, in this place, Lord. And we just love you in Jesus' name. So tonight we're going to be in Genesis chapter 22. That's the first book of your Bible. The very first book, Genesis. I'm familiar with Genesis and Revelation, you know, first and last, so. Genesis. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.'" Now, I know a lot of people don't believe this, but God tests people. Here we see God testing Abraham. Now, this wasn't a test to produce faith. It was a test to reveal Abraham's faith. It was a test to reveal Abraham's faith. See, God had built Abraham slowly up, piece by piece, year by year, into a man of faith. And if God tests Abraham, he'll test us. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." James 1, 2, and 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." We're going to be tested. 1 Peter 1, 6, and 7 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Though it be tested by fire. We will be tested. We will be tested in this life. Our faith will be tested in this life. Here we are seeing Abraham's faith being tested. Not to produce faith, to reveal faith. To reveal faith. God says to him, "Take now, Abraham, your son, your only son, Isaac." Now, it's significant here that God called Isaac Abraham's only son. See, in fact, Abraham had another son, Ishmael, right? But Ishmael was put away, and as far as God was concerned, Abraham had one son. We see it right there. Take your only son. Take your one son, the one you love. See, God will ask us to put all on the altar. Bring me your only son. And then he says, the one that you love. See, he wants what we prize the most. He wants what we prize the most on the altar. Your only son whom you love. He wants what we love the most on the altar. Right, you know, Pastor kind of preached on this a little bit on Sunday where, you know, we bring people things that we don't really want. Here, God, you can have all this because I don't really care about that. But, you know, this one thing, God, I'm not putting it on the altar. I'm not putting it on the altar. And that's the one thing he wants from you. While he may not require all has to be on the altar. All has to be on the altar. Recently, and I've shared this with my daily bread that I write, and I try to share my things that I go through with you in hopes that it ministers to you somehow. A lot of y'all know that I had OD'd when I was 17, and ever since that time, I had told myself that I can heal my body. I could heal my circulation if I just ate right and if I just exercised and I did all the right things, that my body was going to fall back into alignment and it was going to heal. Now, after I got saved and I would pray to God and say, God, heal me, heal me, heal me. And he said, I will heal you. And so I took that as a sign that I was going to, you know, I could go to the doctor and the doctor was going to heal me. And I was going to go do this. And this was going to heal me, and I could do this, and I'm going to work out, and this is going to heal me. And so I was doing it on my own strength, and I was trying to find ways that get my healing from God my way, yep. Right? And so I was trying all these things. And interesting enough, last Sunday, man, I was crying out to God, and God said, Crystal, I want your heart on the altar. Not my spiritual heart, because God has my heart. He's my first love, and he knows he has my heart. And I said, God, you have my heart. And he goes, this. I want that on the altar. Put it on the altar. That one thing you prize the most, your health, your fitness, that's what I want on the altar. And as I stood there weeping, and I actually saw myself place my body on the altar, and he said, leave it there. Don't take it back. That's the one thing I want, because that's what you prize the most, Crystal. That's what I want on the altar. Your only son, Isaac. God said, offer him there as a burnt offering. See, now God told Abraham to offer a burnt offering. This was not an offering that was burned alive, but one first sacrificed and then completely burnt before the Lord. Not burned alive, completely sacrificed and then burnt before the Lord. This test was especially hard because it seemed to contradict the previous promise of God. God had already promised in Isaac, your seed shall be called. If you remember the promise of God, he told Abraham, Isaac is the promise. In Isaac shall the seed be called. In Isaac, I will build a nation of people. In Isaac. And so it seems strange and contradictory to kill the son who was promised to carry on the covenant when it had not yet been fulfilled in him. It seemed as if God commanded Abraham to kill the very promise God made him. But here's what I learned through this. See, Abraham had to learn the difference between trusting the promise and trusting the promiser. Do you trust the promise or do you trust the promiser? We can put God's promises before God himself and feel it is our responsibility to bring the promise to pass, even if we have to disobey God to do it. Do y'all see that? See, Abraham had already done this with Ishmael. He was trying to make good on God's promise himself. He himself was trying to make good on God's promise. So he said, God, you promised me this, so I'm going to make good on the promise, and I'm going to go into Hagar, and I'm going to have a son, and I'm going to make good on your promise. Well, how many of y'all know that when God promises something, he's going to see it through, but he's going to do it his way? How he wants to in his time. And you can disobey God, and you can try to fulfill that promise yourself, but you're going to end up creating an Ishmael. Matt and I try to make good on God's promise of building the church. You know, God had told Matt when he was 15 that he was going to be a pastor. And when we came together, God told us we were going to build a church together. And so when we thought it was the right time, we're like, we're going to make good on this promise, God. We're going to make good on your promise, God. Do you hear the verbiage in this? We're going to make good on your promise, God. And so we ventured out to make good on God's promises. And how many of y'all know? You can't force the hand of God, I'll tell you that much right now. You cannot force God's hand. You can try to make good on his promises, and you're going to get every door slammed in your face along the way. And what'll happen if you're not careful, you will end up disgruntled and frustrated, bidding your head against those slammed doors. And you're like, God, why? And he said, well, you're trying to make good on my promise. It's my promise. Who do you trust? The promise or the promiser? See, God had told me he was my healer. And I was going to make good on that promise. And for years, I've been trying to make good on that promise, doing what I thought was best for me. Until God's like, Crystal, all I wanted was for you to place it on the altar. I wanted you to place it on the altar. Let him make good on his promises. Let him make good on his promises, folks. We can end up frustrated. We can end up with Ishmaels, right? Folks, that has created a ton of problems in this world because Abraham tried to make good on God's promise. Trust the promiser no matter what, and the promise will take care of itself. Right. Trust the promiser no matter what, and the promise will be taken care of. Now, here we see God testing Abraham. And so how did Abraham respond to this? In verse 3, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass. I'm reading the King James. Sorry, donkey. That's why I like King James, man. It just says it like it is, right? His donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he took the wood for burnt offering, and he rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. So the first thing that Abraham did is he rose up early the next day. Notice this. There was not the slightest hint of hesitation on Abraham's part. Abraham rose early in the morning to do this. Do y'all think it must have been a sleepless night for Abraham? God just told him, take your son and sacrifice him, your only son whom you love. And he slept on it and he got up the next morning. He got up the next morning. What does it say? How quick are we to obey God? Do you obey God immediately? The next morning? How long do you have to sleep on the word of the Lord before you'll act on it? How long are you going to wrestle with God's word before you're going to act on it? See, we need to obey in a timely manner. Otherwise, we can miss out on God's plan. See, I know this to be true for myself. When I was in college, folks, and a lot of y'all have heard this before, but I love telling this story because I had my plans for my life. I was going into physical therapy school. I had a 4.0. I had done all my volunteer hours. I had already went and interviewed with the University of Texas Health Science Center because I had my plan mapped out for me. I had it all mapped out. And God said, quit school, Crystal. And I said, I am not going to do that, God, because these are my plans. And I've got plans for my life, God, and I don't know what to do if I quit school. I don't have any plans. And I wrestled with God for almost 2 weeks, folks. And when I say wrestled, I fought with him on my bed at night. I didn't sleep soundly. I fought and wrestled with God until I finally just said, I'm done, God, I'm done. And it was just in the nick of time, too, because I met my husband about 2 weeks later. And if I had not quit school, I would have missed him. Because I would not have been at the place where we were together at the same time. Because I quit school and I had to get a job. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a job. And I would have missed him. And I look back on that time and I know it was from God and I know it was timely. I knew it was timely when he told me. And I wrestled with it. And I wrestled with it until literally I couldn't fight him any longer. I said, I'm done, God. I'm done fighting you. I'm done fighting you. How long will you sleep on the word before you'll act on it? Now, the second part of this is Abraham trusted God even when he did not understand. See, sometimes we say, I'm not going to obey or believe until I understand it all. Well, that's kind of making yourself equal with God. And there's no faith in that. There's no faith in that. Folks, faith is described as faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the description of faith. So if you're living by what you see and what you understand, you ain't living by faith. You're living by what you see and understand. That's not faith. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to believe God. Y'all like this, huh? You're all, ooh. Faith believes even when it doesn't understand or see. It has to. That's faith. It has to. I don't understand it. I can't see it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to do it, God. That's faith. That's faith. Faith trusts God, not by what we see or cannot see. Faith trusts God, not by what you see or cannot see. It just trusts. It just is. I have no other way to explain it. It trusts when it cannot see, when it cannot understand. Now, the third part, Abraham didn't debate or seek counsel from others. Isn't that interesting? You always wonder, I believe in seeking godly counsel is a good thing sometimes. But sometimes it's not so much. Abraham knew what to do and employed no stalling tactics. And in this case, I'm sure if you were going to tell someone, hey, I'm going out tomorrow to sacrifice my son, they'd be like, no, wait, stop. What are you doing? There's some things that God tells you that you just need to sit on, that you don't need to share with anybody. And here, I'm not even sure that Abraham told his wife. As a mom, I'd be like, oh, heck no, brother. You're not taking my son. Oh, no. Take that boy down the road. Folks, sometimes you just have to do what God tells you to do without seeking a committee. Period. Period. Sometimes you just got to do what God tells you to do And you don't need to ask anybody about it. You don't need to tell anybody about it. You just need to do it. You just need to do it. I didn't ask anybody when I wanted to quit school because, listen, I knew what people would say. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my mom. Anybody that was close. I didn't tell my best friend at the time. I didn't tell anybody until afterwards. And I remember the day that I went to quit. I still remember that day. And one of the guys in my class that was taking the physical therapy with me, and he came up and he's like, "Did you just quit?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "What are you doing? Oh my gosh, that's so dumb. Why would you do that?" I mean, he just ridiculed me up and down and up and down. And I'm like, "I'm sorry. You don't understand. You're not going to understand why I did this. You won't understand. I can't explain it to you. I don't even understand it myself. How am I going to explain it to you? I don't think Abraham could even understand it himself. How is he going to explain it to somebody else? You know, God just told me to go and kill my promise. How are you going to explain that to somebody else? See, seeking out others to validate what God has told you to do can lead to many problems. One of them is people pleasing. One of them is people pleasing. I love Galatians 1:10. "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I love that. This is actually what I wanted to preach on tonight, about being a people pleaser. But God changed it, so I had to add it in there anyways. But folks, you cannot care more about what people think than what God thinks. People pleaser. People pleasers get in trouble all the time with God. And I'd rather be on the side of God than the side of people. I'd rather everything's okay here than here. You get a lot of trouble being a people pleaser. Aside from the people pleaser, another problem, if you share with others, is that, folks, dogs will come after you. Dogs will come after you, right? Jesus said, "Do not cast your pearl before swine or give that which is holy to the dogs, because they will come and rip you up." They tear you up. They rip you up. So when you share a holy thing with well-meaning Christians, even, folks, you don't know sometimes who you share it with. I can tell you, Pastor Matt and I, when we wanted to start the church, we were sharing it with a bunch of pastors that said, "Brother, don't do that. That's dumb. You don't know what you're getting into. That's just stupid. I want you to stay here and worship here." Dogs. Stupid pastors. Can't trust them. But you'd never know unless God says, "You can share that with them." Don't share it. Keep it to yourself. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs, because they will come and they will tear you up. They will tear you up. The fourth part of this, Abraham trusted God even when he did not feel like it. See, y'all are going to like this part. There's not a line in this text about how Abraham felt. Not because he didn't feel, but because he walked by faith, not feelings. Ooh, you can write a whole sermon on that. See, we live in a feeling-run society. It's all about how someone feels or doesn't feel, and they react accordingly. You cannot be led by your feelings, folks. We must be led by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, not by how we feel about something. You can't be led by how you feel about something. You got to be led by what the Word says. Otherwise, you're going to be lost. You're going to be lost. We need to side with the Word, not the world. What does the Word say? Not what does the world say? Folks, it grieves my spirit more than anything else when I see Christians attacking other Christians for being on the side of the Word. Because they do it all the time on Facebook. Someone say something about the Word of God. Well, that's not very nice. That's not very godly. That's not blah, 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 blah. It is feeling based. It's feeling based. Word, not world. No L. L's for losers. Y'all remember that now, right? Hebrews 4:12 says, God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit and judging the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, in other words, God's word gives us wisdom to know right from wrong and keep our thoughts and attitudes in control. That's what his word is meant to do. But see, some of us don't got the word in us. We got too much of the world in us. Get the word in you. Get the word in you. It's challenging sometimes to discern if what we want is in line with what God wants for us. Listen to this, because when we feel strongly about something, we can easily deceive ourselves into thinking it is God's will. And the devil will help you do it. It happens all the time. The devil will even lead us to take scripture out of context if it will keep us deceived. Folks, feelings are deceptive. Even if you feel strongly about something, it can still be deceptive. Be careful. Be careful that you don't twist scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, only spiritual people can understand the things of the Spirit. And sometimes it's even difficult for spiritual people to do that. We've got to stay in the Word of God. You got to know what the Word of God says. Be led by the Spirit in the Word of God. I can tell you that when you're truly being led by the Spirit, your head can have a hard time understanding what God's doing because he often seems unreasonable. Kill the promise. And you're like, what? What? He will do many things in your life that you just cannot comprehend. He will. We're not meant to understand, right? God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, for my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God doesn't work in the same realm that we work in and we live in. We're here with this finite understanding, and God says, well, that's great, but it's not my understanding. His understanding is infinite. Ours is finite. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We have to renew our mind with the Word of God. We have to renew our mind with the Word of God. Folks, man, I'm telling you, you can get so misled by living according to your feelings. And that's the society we live in. Well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like working today. I'm just going to call in. If it feels good, do it. I really feel strongly about this. Well, that's great, but what does the Word of God say? A lot of people feel strongly about things. But what does God's Word say? Folks, we either have to be about God's Word or not. It's either true or not true. There's no middle ground here. Number five, God trained Abraham, bringing him to this place of great trust. In just the last chapter, right, God asked Abraham to give up Ishmael in a less severe way. God used that and everything else to train up Abraham and to build great faith in him. Right? It says that Abraham was called a friend of God. How do you become someone's friend? See, because, you know, I talk with my son a lot about this. And he's like, oh, so-and-so is my friend, so-and-so is my friend, so-and-so is my friend. And I said, how do they treat you? How do they talk to you? And he's like, I said, they're an acquaintance. They're an acquaintance. They're not a friend. See, a friend spends time with someone, getting to know them on an intimate level. Acquaintances, they go out for coffee. They share pleasantries, right? We hang out. You know, we might do some things together, have some parties together. But a friend, it says, sticks closer than a brother. A friend has longevity in their relationship. They've spent mass time together. Friend. Friend, it's a strong word. It's not an acquaintance, folks. And there's a huge difference. Friends learn to trust each other. Right? A friend sticks closer than a brother. So friends trust each other. Right? Abraham trusted God because he knew him. We were visiting Pastor Matt's grandpa, and me and grandpa have actually a lot of our past in common and stuff. And one of the things about my childhood is I don't trust. I don't trust. And grandpa had said, well, that's so funny that she married you so quick. How did she trust you? And I was like, well, actually, I didn't trust him. Not when I first met him. I didn't trust him. I'll tell you who I trusted. I trusted the promiser who told me he was the one for me. And I fasted and I prayed. I fasted and I prayed and I heard from God. And I said, God, I trust you. So I'm going to marry this man. And he worked hard to earn my trust. He worked hard to earn my trust. And now I trust him fully. We've spent years together. We spent time together. He opened up his life to me, said, I have all of this is yours. You can trust me. I'm an open book. And that's what God does. And Abraham took advantage of it. He said, God, I will trust you. I want to know you. He spent time with him. He knew him. Folks, you don't trust someone you don't know. Think about that. If you're having a hard time trusting God, why is it? You don't trust someone you don't really know. Might know about him. Might know what his word says. Him. You might know what his word says. But do you know him? Do you trust him? Do you trust him? See, you're not going to sacrifice your son if you don't trust God. You're not going to sleep one night, get up early the next morning and go and do it, are you? Do you trust him? Do you trust God? You have to get to know him. You gotta be in his word, folks. These are God's words. This is his holy word. This is his word to us. In this, we find out who he is. We find out his character. We find out his ways. We find out his plans. And as we read that, and then we've been born again by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit bears witness with that. And we say, Lord, come and love me. Come and show me yourself. And he comes and communes with us. But you got to position yourself to be in community with him. You got to make time for him in your life. Folks, you make time for people that you want as friends, don't we? We make time for friendships. Well, what about God? And I know a lot of people says, man, I want to be used of God like Paul. Well, do you position yourself to hear from God like Paul does? Do you trust God like Paul does? Did. Does. You got to know him. You got to position yourself to hear from him, to be in his word, to know his ways, so that when he speaks, you can have a night of sleep and act on it the next day. And say, God, I trust you. I trust you. And it may seem like he's killing your promise, but we don't trust the promise. We trust the promiser. But you got to get to know the promiser. Let him train you. He trained Abraham. He tested Abraham. Let him train you. Let him mold you. That's one of my favorite prayers. God, mold me and shape me. Let me be pliable clay in your hands. Not a hard, stiff clay that he's got to crack. Let me be moldable, God. Train me in your ways so that when I come and I have to do a huge step of faith, I say, God, I don't understand this. I can't see it. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do it because I trust you. And folks, I believe this next season that God's bringing us into is that he's going to ask more boldness from his people. He's going to ask more boldness of us. There's a clear separation for God's people out of the world into his church, into what he has for you. There's a clear separation. And if you're not willing to take a step of faith and be bold, you're going to have a hard time. It's what he's asking us right now. But folks, you got to trust him. When he tells you to take those steps of faith, you got to trust him. Position yourself in a place to trust him. Do whatever it takes to put yourself in a place to trust him. Whatever it takes in your life, whatever you got to put on the altar, wherever you got to go, whatever you have to give up, whatever time you need to spend with him. Folks, it is the time. It is time. You got to trust him fully like Abraham trusted him. Commune with him on a daily basis. Be in his word daily. Get to know him so you can trust him. And then Abraham went to the place of which God had told him. In wonderful trusting obedience, Abraham went right to the spot. And we know what happened. If you don't read chapter 22 and find out what happened, I'm going to leave it a cliffhanger there. Okay, you guys can read the rest of it tonight and find out what happened, because it's a great story. Amen. Trust the promiser because he is faithful. Amen. 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 Do you want to pray, honey? His throat hurts. Do you want to pray?
Yeah. Let me stand up together.